Good afternoon. You are listening to The McCarthy Project. This is Stephen McCarthy, your host. And we are excited today to have Lindsay Berg on the show. She has done some serious work in the world of volleyball and has really successful at a very high level. So we asked her to come on the show today to talk about her background, her story, how she was able to go from basically, I suppose, like every one of us, as an unknown, to somebody that was able to accomplish and lead Olympic teams, pro teams, and pretty much, I imagine, everybody in between. But how are you doing today, Lindsay?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, absolutely. So it's been it's interesting in doing a little bit of research. You came off the Olympics, you know, in 2012,
yep.
And there actually was word that you were going to retire, but then it turns out
yeah.
that you are not.
Yeah, I'm still kind of day by day. I thought I wanted that to be the end. I was really confident that we were going to win gold as well and thought we had a gold medal team, which I believe we were, and things happen in sports. But I've decided just to take a little more time before making such a drastic decision like that, because I'm still playing at the level I want to be at. I still have the passion for it, still think I can help people. So I'm kind of now day by day, month by month, summer by summer, seeing where it takes me and what I want to do.
You know, it's an interesting question, because I've always was very curious about athletes when they really do attain a really high level of success in sport. And when they come to the end of the career, when you do have to sort of vacillate back and forth between a decision, you know, does your performance go down necessarily because you're not like 100% committed, or is it just you know what it takes, you know what you can do? How do you? I mean, this is another question we didn't talk about off air, but how do you do that?
Yeah, no problem. It's a great question, because I have been battling with it for years now, actually, for other reasons. Your body gets older, injuries, depending on that as well. I always told myself if I couldn't compete at the level that I wanted to compete, it was time for me to be done, just because I'm so critical and so competitive, and it's frustrating when you can't do exactly what you want to do. But I know for athletes it's a really hard transition, especially if you've played at an elite level for so long, if that has been your life for so long, to transition into something else is really difficult. And I think people struggle with that. And I don't think people prepare enough beforehand and think about, well, what's going to happen after. And I don't think in general your skill level or your play goes down because you're thinking about that. I think if you're there, you know what it takes and what to do. And I think that's just something mental. If you are going down in your performance, it's a mental issue, not necessarily a skill or performance.
Fascinating. I would love to come back to that subject, because I think it's something like, even, you know, I'm of the Michael Jordan era, you know, where he retired, you know, after winning the NBA championship and then came back 3 years later.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it really brought a lot of really curiosity questions. You know, I'd love to ask.
It's addicting. So, it's addicting.
Pardon me?
It's that simple. It's an addiction almost once you're here. And, I mean, the Olympics is addicting. Once you do one, you want to do more. And obviously not everyone makes it to that level, but I think in everyone's different story in every different level that they are at, it's somehow hard to get away from, especially if you're a competitive person.
That's fascinating. All right, so that's going to be another day, another subject, because I really do think that we could talk for a long time just simply about that particular aspect, the success. But let's go back, because I want to start and lay the groundwork first. Kind of give us your story. You know, where did you come from? Were you did you have the silver spoon in your mouth? Were you a checkbook volleyball player? Were you kind of in the park just doing it on your own? How did you start, and kind of how did you progress up into the Olympics?
Wonderful. Well, born and raised in Honolulu, Hawaii. Fortunately, that is a big volleyball state. Many don't know, but volleyball is supported to the fullest. And my father was a volleyball coach, a basketball coach, a teacher. My mother was a tennis athlete. I just kind of grew up in a family of athletes and active people. And so ever since I was teeny, my dad, I'd be in his lap and he'd be making volleyball motions with my hands, and I watched him play on the beach, grew up on the beach, and I think it just was in my blood and also just saw it all the time, but never felt any pressure from them to do it. And I started to be pretty competitive around 8 to 10 years old, playing in tournaments, traveling to the mainland, as we call it, but California, to compete in tournaments at 10 years old. And I was then also very just addicted. I begged my dad to go into the gym. I wanted to jump serve 500 balls a day. I just wanted to play. Begged my coaches to what we call pepper, which is just kind of like playing with the ball back and forth. But at the same time, I was playing tennis almost to the same extent. And just I loved being active. I love sports. I also danced. I think my parents letting me do all different types of things and giving me no pressure was huge in my success. They let me figure it out and let me decide what my passion was. Obviously, he was a coach, but I never felt the pressure from him. And I think that really helped me growing up. So it all started there and continued throughout high school, junior high, of just playing volleyball, playing tennis, a little basketball here and there. Finally, around 15, kind of had to make the decision, like, am I going to be serious about volleyball? And started going to the big tournaments, started to get recruited like any other athlete goes to college, and had a successful career in Hawaii and loved it, and it was a great place to grow up and be. And then it took me to Minnesota. And people still ask me how. Sometimes I still don't know why. But my dad actually played with Mike Hebert, who was the coach at the time for the Gophers. And they talked me into just like going for a visit, go and see it. I was like, where is Minnesota? I'm just this little Hawaiian kid in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, like, was bad at geography. And so I went, and everyone was just so nice. I was really sick and kind of just like not scared of the whole recruiting process, but it was got so intense, and people were giving me ultimatums like, you have to sign now. And I hadn't even seen the school. So it was really difficult for me, being all the way in Hawaii, to have the full experience of getting to see every school and really make a really good decision for myself. But I knew that I trusted the people there. Minnesota had a great reputation of just being a great state of having good, genuine people. I was in the business school, and I made the big leap to the cold weather. And
so how did you deal with the cold weather? Because that is a question. As a Minnesotan myself. Huh?
Yeah, bought a lot of clothes, and now that's a slight addiction as well. So I'll just blame Minnesota on having to have clothes. But I struggled. I really struggled. My first year, I almost transferred. It was really difficult. Not only culture shock, weather shock. We didn't do as well as I wanted to do the first year. A lot of components. But I knew when things are hard, normally if you stick them out and figure out ways to get through them, it always turns out better and you learn as a person. And that's what happened. And I went through my four years of eligibility, and actually graduated, though, after season in my fourth year a little early, and was able to go and play in the only year that had a professional league in the United States, the USPV, and got to play in Minnesota and Rochester for the Minnesota Chill with one of my teammates, Nicole Brana, at college, and a couple other people that I knew well, and brought that title home, and that kind of started off my professional career.
And there's a couple questions for you, because I want to talk about the professional side, because it's a big change in my mind, because volleyball is not at a pro level. You know, we all see the beach volleyball and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It shows up at the Olympics, you know, every year.
Yeah.
Not every year, but every Olympic game. But we don't see, you know, the standard classic volleyball. But in the rest of the world, it's a very large community, kind of like soccer almost.
Yeah. I know. It's so unfortunate and that's something that I'm trying to do and trying to help our world in the States see that there's another level and there's another life that we live. And it's just unfortunate that it can't get going here. But I think someday it will.
Let's talk about a little bit about, you know, I kind of cut you off, and I apologize for that. But after college, then you transition to the pro. There is no options, you know, in the United States. And now you're looking at going, okay, what am I going to do for the rest of my life? And then you see the Olympics. How did you balance the Olympics and not seeing an opportunity in the United States? And I'm sure that gets back to the question we used to answer, but kind of give us a little bit of rundown how you stayed, you know, how you were able to really develop your career in volleyball.
Yeah, well, luckily now I think volleyball, the volleyball community, at least the girls that are playing and the girls that are at a high level in college, now know about your options overseas, not necessarily in the States, but overseas. And but then, after I played in that one little season that there was the pro league, I got invited. That's when I did get invited to the national team. And it was 2 years before the Athens Olympics. And I made a choice, just a personal choice, that I'm going to go to the Athens Olympics. So I'm going to just stay with the national team for those 2 years and not go overseas professionally, when half of the team, or more than half of the team, was going over there for the 6 to 7 months and then coming back for our national team season in the summer. So it was there. I knew about it. But I also knew that if I'm going to go to the Olympics, I'm going to give it my all. I'm going to stay here with this coach that doesn't know me well, that I have to prove wrong, that I know I'm short. I know I'm not the most athletic, but I'm going to prove him wrong. And I decided personally to just stay in Colorado Springs for 2 straight years before Athens. Others didn't do that, and it's not a requirement to do. And then after that, obviously, I was seen more so by the world and got teams that were interested in me. And it's not as easy if you're coming right out of college. You have to be one of the biggest named players, or just right away get a good agent that can get you on a team. Because if you're not seen in the national program, you're not necessarily going to get the best contracts overseas, if that makes any sense.
Yes.
Yeah.
Interesting. So then from there?
That's the route that I took. From there, after Athens, I played 7 seasons in Italy. And, I mean, once you go to an Olympics, your professional career is pretty easy to get going. But a lot don't know, like, you don't have to be on the Olympic team. Almost every country has a professional league. And, you know, it's at different levels. You can go and just get everything paid for and play volleyball and see the world. Or, you know, if you are on the Olympic team, it is like a full career, and you're making definitely a living, if not more than a living. So there's different levels of it and different ways that you can approach it.
Fascinating. So let's talk about the last Olympics, because that was kind of at the tail end of your career, I think that's probably appropriate, you know, as I say, you felt very strong about the team, but it didn't quite get over the hump, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, I still feel strong about the team. I still think if we would have played another match the next day against Brazil, we would have beat them. There's so many things that go into a game, and especially a game that important, a gold medal match. But I still believe we are a gold medal team, and we worked really hard 4 years and had a great coach and had a great group, and kind of dominated until the last match. And sometimes if you don't have to go through really hard periods, you're not prepared for that hard period. And we got through one in the gold medal match, and we just couldn't pull through when the other team that we played had to go through a lot of digging deep throughout the whole Olympics. They almost didn't even make it through pool play, and then came up with a big upset in Russia, and they were on a real emotional high and had to dig deep, and we kind of were on a steady keel of just domination. And so once we got pushed, I don't think we responded the best that we could have. That's what I think happened. But we have so much talent and good direction and good staff that I believe it can happen again. Make it to the gold medal match in Rio. There's a lot of time to prepare, but that time, like, flies. So we'll see. But, yes, I believe we were a gold medal team and can continue to be that team in the next Olympics as well.
Amazing. I have so many questions, I'm telling you. Because what you're talking about is, I think, what most athletes need to understand is,
yeah,
you're talking about life and about how you can have the confidence and then you can lose, but yet you're not the most athletic, but then you still are. I mean,
yeah,
and then you go through a hard period. How do you control? I mean, there's so many different aspects than the standard U.S. athlete for the young person that basically their parents run around and buy everything for them, and they show up,
yeah,
and they don't really want to be there. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, there's so much. And I think to make it to this level, it takes a special person. I always say it takes a crazy person. I believe I'm crazy in certain aspects of life, because some of it's just so difficult, and there's times where you just want it to be easy, but then you're not that person. So it's so complicated, yet I think from the outside sometimes it seems so simple that you're just an athlete. You get paid to play a sport, and yes, it's incredible, but it's taught me so much. I've learned so much about myself. I've learned so much about other people, how to deal with people. It's taught me life lessons rather than just playing volleyball, and it's been incredible.
Unbelievable. All right, we're going to, because I'm gonna hold my question till the next segment, because I think,
okay,
I mean, we didn't even talk about this, but the love of the game, we talked, that was one of the things you mentioned through your story. You were short, but not the most athletic, but yet you played at the elite level, and you were a leader,
yeah,
you know what I mean, from that,
yeah,
standpoint. You know, you go through a hard period. How do you control that? I mean, there's just so many cool questions. So with that, we're going
all
to
right,
a quick break, and we'll be back with Lindsay Berg to talk about some different aspects of high-level success in sport.